What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery and the blood that shed only my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed more love than this world has ever known. And oh, love, love divine, so divine, to a love you'll never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Well, the cross will always represent the love of God had for me. When the Lord of glory heaven sent, He gave all on Calvary. He did it just for me. He just for me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the God, oh, will always represent the love. When the Lord of glory heaven sent, He gave all on Calvary. He did it just for me. Just for me. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory heaven sent, He gave all on Calvary. He did it just for me. He did it just for me. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the God will always grant when the Lord of glory, yeah, heaven sent, he gave all on power, he did it just for me. Just for me, just for me, just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me, Jesus came and did it. Just for me, he died on Calvary. Jesus came and did it for me. Oh, hallelujah.
Here, he still would have come. Amen. If I was the only one left, he still would have come just for me. Amen. Thank God for the choir. Thank God for our preachers and their wives. Thank God for our deacons, to Deacon Wright, to my wife. Thank God for our mothers, especially. Thank God for them. Amen. Thank God for our mother. Amen. And although the heat is working, I told me and my uncle, we were conversing. I said, it's about the mothers to get this thing right. And it's getting there. Amen. Y'all keep us in your prayers. Those of you who have your Bibles, please turn your attention to Colossians, to the book of Colossians and the third chapter. Amen. And the third chapter. Thank God for our ushers. Amen. And thank God for our young ushers. Amen. And I'm telling y'all, we've been raising them up in the way they should go. Those of you that have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read this. I'm not going to preach the whole thing, but we're going to read this chapter down to the 15th verse. And it says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, which are fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. in the which ye also walked sometime in them when you lived in them. But now ye also put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Put it out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision. And let me read that again, because it goes together with verse 10. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge and knowing and knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. But put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, hallelujah, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching it, admonishing one another in it, singing in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. 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 Thank God for everybody, even those watching online. Thank God for Coach Mo and his wife. We're praying for them. Amen. He called. And we just thank God for them. Amen. Let us look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you and we praise you to know that you alone are worthy of the glory. You are worthy of the honor, O God, and the worthy of the very breath, even in our bodies, oh God. We can't do nothing without you. And if we do anything without you, we're doing it on our own. And even in that, God, when you get ready, you can call us out of this life anytime you get ready. So God, we thank you, oh God, because in you all fullness dwells. And it pleased the Father to give you that autonomy, to give you the ultimate authority, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Crucify me, oh God, even right now, that I won't speak out of me, but hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God, you are speaking. You're speaking with the wars and everything that's going on in this country. It was written aforetime that what we're experiencing right now would happen. So there's nothing that can happen that can happen that you don't already know about. So God, even this, we put this in your hand. Every trial, every tribulation, personally, that even we go through, oh God, we just place it into your hands. Have your way in this service. Drive out anything in this place that's not of you. Search our hearts. Oh God, prepare and break our hearts to receive your word with meekness and gladness, that there will be change when we leave this place. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 Thank God, amen, for there's a song that we sing. Oftentimes, sometimes you'll hear us quote it. But it's a song called Love Lifted Me, and that's what we're going to title this message today, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. His love lifted me. Amen. And somebody might think, well, what's the connection between that title and this chapter? And Lord really just broke my heart to two verses in this chapter. And that's verse 10 and verse 14. And verse 14 says, and above all these things, put on love, or put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, perfection. And we know that we're saved by love. We were saved by love. Amen? And we know, if you really think about it, we were created by love. Y'all know that we were created by love. We were created when God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then the Bible says he breathed into man the breath of life, and we became a living soul. It was God didn't make anything else in this world like what he did when he made man and breathed the breath of life into us and life, and we became a living soul. So we were saved by love. We were created in love. And it's love that when we're going through this world, amen, it's the love of Christ that lifts us, amen, that lifts us to being who we are in Jesus. And I thank God just for when we were praying through the Colossians, seemed like we couldn't get away from Colossians all month, even when we... today, God took me through a rigmarole last night and this morning, started me out in Hebrews, and then Philippians, and then Romans. Then he brought me back. I know that's how it be, but we don't want it to be that way. But absolutely, that's how it be. Man, he brought me back to Colossians. And when we studied this Colossians, we noticed that there were some things going on in Colossians. We noticed, and we talked about chapter 2, right, of Colossians. And how when it talks about verse 16 in chapter 2, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or new moon and Sabbath days. Right? Because we know in chapter 2, Colossians were grounded in earthly and fleshly things. They were grounded in obeying or observing new moon Sabbath days. Things they needed, thought they needed, they were trying to delineate or reduce the very Jesus Christ in their lives. And the Bible says in verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward. Beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. And even in the book of Galatians, Paul said to them, who have bewitched you? Who have bamboozled you? Man, how are y'all so far to the left or to the right? Amen. How are y'all moved off of this Christ? Right? You know, and then he goes on to let them know, until Christ be formed in you. Because we know the enemy said that he could not defeat them once they're saved. You know, you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. Once you're saved, you can't even defeat yourself. Amen? But we got to know, once we're saved, our salvation is based in the very Jesus Christ. Our salvation is based in the very God himself. Yeah. And nobody can defeat God. He's undefeated. Amen. So you got to know your salvation hinges upon the very life of Jesus Christ. But what they were doing, they were reducing the life of Christ, saying to add to your salvation, you need this, or you need that, or you need the tongues, or you need special knowledge or head knowledge, or not, or the spirit of mysticism and Gnosticism and all these things. They were trying to get them to add to their salvation. And actually, when you try to add to your salvation, when you try to work out your salvation, when you try to work for your salvation, and some people work for their salvation on guilt. Well, I did this thing, right? And I know I'm not speaking to my sister, or I know I'm not speaking to this person, right? And they'll do works, right? They'll do works to try to appease or make up for their meanness or their bitterness or for why they're not speaking to someone. Listen, and there's some things that God can tell you to do. And there's some people that God can tell you to apologize to. And I'm telling you, you would rather go cut a field of grass at the farmhouse than to pick up and call somebody and apologize to them. Amen. You would rather come into church, and I've seen people try to work off their salvation or try to work off their sins by doing more things in the church. Amen. And I'm telling you, and the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body, the joints, the bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, not holding the head is Jesus Christ. So they were not holding on to the very foundation, which is in Jesus, through Jesus, and by Jesus, but they were going about to establish their own way. Kind of like those in Romans. Right? In Romans chapter 10, he said they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Therefore, they're going about to try to establish their own righteousness. And y'all, holy Jesus. Amen. He said, and they have not submitted themselves. Because they don't want to submit. And listen, we don't want to submit and die to ourselves. Guess what? We circumvent the will. And we try to establish our own salvation our own way. And satisfy the conscience our own way. But you got to submit. You've got to surrender. And number one, you've got to die. And so he goes on to say, man, y'all doing all these things. Right? And then he said, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though you're living in the world, are you subject to his ordinances? Paul said, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all things are to perish after the commandments of the doctrines of men, which have indeed, they have a show. They have a show of church. They have a show of holiness. They have a show of religion. They have a show of humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor, not in of any value, any delivering power. They can't deliver you. That means you leave out the church bound. You leave out the church still addicted. You leave out the church unchanged. You leave out the church and there's no evidence. There's no application of the word being applied in your life. You're still the mean old person that you were before you got saved. And there's no change. Amen. Man, I'm going to be tarred and feathered. They're going to put me out of the church. Right? And listen, that's where we are without dying to self, submission, and yielding our lives to Jesus Christ. We can't say, I love Jesus over here, but I'm But we want to hold on to our life and what we want to do over here. We've got to know. This says, and this goes back into our chapter. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections. And I know some Bibles say mine, and mine is good, but I like affection. To set my soul, my pursuit, my being, everything. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. We've got to know that. And so what we try to do when he says we've been baptized with Christ into his body. Romans chapter 6 talks about, I'm not going to flip too much. Talks about how we've died with Christ and we've got to reckon ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto righteousness. Yo, I'm a new person. Any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. I'm new. Somebody talk about new money, right? But we're new in Jesus Christ. Old things have been passed away. And behold, all things are made new because I'm saved. We don't have a second rate living in us. We have the Holy Ghost that lives in us. And so I've been changed. I've been rearranged. Living in the same old body, but I'm new. I mean, I'm new in Jesus Christ. I'm not who I used to be. Amen. I'm not who I used to be. Amen. I'm a son of the Most High God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. Amen. In chapter 2, they were grounded to the things of the world. But chapter 3, we've been lifted. We've been lifted, amen. We've been seated in heavenly places in and through Christ Jesus. And that's why it's his love that reminds me. It's his love that imputes unto me what I have in Jesus Christ, that I'm no longer living. I'm no longer Raggedy Randy, amen. Amen. But I'm a son of the Most High God. Amen. I'm a son of the Most High God. Man, I thank God. I thank God we're going to cut right to the chase. That when we know, listen, when Paul goes on to say, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. Then when Christ, who's our life, shall appear, we're also going to appear with him in glory. Then it says mortify. Somebody shout mortify. That means put to death. Therefore, your members, right, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And the time which we walk sometime in them, and we lived in them. But now he also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Y'all know what filthy communication is, right? I don't need to explain that, right? And so, you know, and all these things, and malice, blasphemy, wrath, anger, put them out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Stop lying. Stop lying. Just because you can't tell a lie or you don't tell a lie, you can live a lie.
That's right.
Some people live a lie on social media. They live a lie on Facebook, amen? And you only see the good stuff.
Yeah.
Amen? Trying to look for likes and look for somebody. Listen, I'm not saying I go on Facebook. I like Facebook too. I don't like it, but I go on it. I'm on it. So I'm not picking on, thank God for Facebook, amen? Because we telecast through Facebook, amen? But we've got to know that we are pilgrims passing through this world. Our life is no longer here. But our life is hid in Christ and in God. And I'm telling you, listen, when Paul said, I'm apprehending after that, which is apprehending, apprehended after me. When Paul told Timothy to lay hold unto eternal life, we've got to lay hold on the fact of, man, our lives are seated and hid in Christ Jesus. And so verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. And have put on the new man. Right? And when it says to put on this new man, right? And I used to read this, mortify my members. That means I gotta try to be on to not give in to fornication. I gotta try to not give in to uncleanness or inordinate affection. And all the man, I used to read those words as a kid. And you know, you can read them in a in an NIV and get a better meaning of it. But I used to say, man, how do we do this? How do I set my affections on things above? Man, listen, how do I take the word that the preachers preach and that we preach and the Bible studies? How is this word lived out in our lives? How is it done? How is it done? And somebody might say, well, we got to die. Well, we know that. We know that. We understand that. But man, y'all, guess what? I'm tired. We don't want to be people that just go through the motions of having church and there's never any real change in our lives. Guess what? When I go out these doors, I want something. Man, listen. Listen, and we hear Reverend Williams talking about, it's not enough just to listen to sermons. It's not enough just to close my Bible on Sunday. After we got to church, hallelujah, praise God, we had church. Right? And the word is never engrafted or applied where somebody's taking note of the Christ that lives in my life. Man, it's time out for just the word being on the shelf in your heart or in your car or in your house. But this word has to be applied. This word has to be lived out. This word has to be manifested. And if there's something that says ouch, just say ouch. And say amen to the word. Make a note to yourself. And I know Reverend Williams and Minister Tobin, they get their own points. And I write their points down. But sometimes I'm hearing the word and they'll say something, man. I'll be like, woo, that touched me. It wasn't even a point, but I'll write it down. And we take it back to our classes. And maybe it's on a Monday. And that thing that spoke to me, guess what? I got to meditate on it. I got to yield to it and submit to it and surrender to it and search it and cross-reference it. And it's got to become a love affair to me. That this word, that's, guess what? It will be lived out through my life. And it comes through submission and yielding and dying to myself. In other words, this word has to be marinated into my life. And when I read this verse, God, he wouldn't leave me alone. He says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after him who's created him. Amen? And this verse renewed. This word renewed, to be renewed, to be renewed. Amen. To be renewed. Amen. To be renewed after the image of him. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him. This word renewed, and I had it written down, and I don't know where I put it. But guess what? Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. But be ye what? Transformed. How? Let's say that again. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? How? By the renewing of your mind. Amen. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Not only that, but 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's turn there really quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish," guess what? "The inward man is what? Renewed." How? Day by day. And the way we're renewed by the word of God. We're renewed by prayer and intimacy in the closet. We're renewed day by day, that we don't stay the same, that there's a change in all of our lives. That's why Paul could go on and say in Romans, amen. That's why he could say in Romans chapter 5, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience worketh hope, right? And that hope does not make a shame, because the love of Christ, what we go through is a renewing. Getting in the word, there's a renewing. Getting in on our knees in prayer in the closet is a renewing. And all these things work together for our good. All these things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. And to those who are called according to his purpose, from whom he did foreknow, to them he did what? Predestinate that we shall be what? Conformed to the image of yourself. That's right. That we should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Minister Tobin just said, he said, not to the old image, but to the new you. Who's the new you? Jesus Christ that lives in you. God don't want me looking like me, but he wants me looking like his son, Jesus Christ. And if we're not in the word, we're not going to get there from here. Amen. That's what we got to know. So we got to be renewed. The next word is renewed in knowledge. And this is where they were in 2 Corinthians, Colossians chapter 2. They were stuck in head knowledge. They were stuck in secret knowledge. They were stuck in the Illuminati. And all these secret fraternities. And secret organizations and all this thing. They were stuck there and they were equating their spiritual growth to their spiritual knowledge or their head knowledge, which was education. And the more you learn, the more you know. Amen. Y'all, that's why we can't watch anything. We can't be a part of everything. We gotta watch the tattoos that we get tattooed on our bodies. And just you seeing third eyes and the God of Horus and all these things that we put on our bodies. And we gotta listen, it's okay. And saluting these Greek goddesses and gods and all these things. This is what they were into. Not holding the head, not holding Jesus Christ, but causing us to add all these other things, thinking it's okay to shout in here on Sunday, but go to the Beyonce concert on Saturday. Amen. And sometimes she turns into somebody else. She got a name for her. It's time. We've got to know. The Bible says, set your affections on things above. And not on things of this earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in God. In Christ, who's hid in God. Man, people look at me, man, and y'all see me preaching up here, and somebody probably think, man, this life is a drag. Somebody probably think this life is boring. I'm telling you, you have not known real love until you know this love of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. Man, listen, you have not known peace. You have not known joy. Guess what? We can do it all over and not have a hangover in the morning. When you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, the fact that a holy God would die for an old miserable wretch like me. I'm telling you, when nothing else would help you out, we've got to know, man, this is love that lifts me. So what they wanted to do in the spirit of Gnosticism, they wanted to keep, and even theologians, even commentators, they keep this knowledge as equated to knowledge stuck in the head. And I don't read where this word is used as describing an intimate love affair. Over and over in the Bible, it says in the Old Testament, especially, and he knew his wife, and she knew her husband. And that knew just talked about, man, the togetherness. Amen. Or just an intimate love affair or relationship that they had. So we're renewed through persecutions. We're renewed by the word of God. We're renewed in prayer, in that secret closet, which is what the revival is going to be about. Amen, man. In the knowledge, in the love affair. Man, and I thank God, man, listen, we are blessed. And I thank God for even on the line. We were talking about Colossians. Amen. And I thank God for even the Bible studies that we get, that we still stuck on Colossians. Amen. And they talk about this knowledge, and this knowledge don't mean, but it means knowledge. It means much more than, and man, you've got to be in love. Amen. After the image of him, after the image of him that created him, who is Jesus Christ. That's what we're renewed in. We're renewed to look like Jesus. Amen. We're renewed to look like him. Right. And y'all, I'm telling you, listen, we have a tug of war. We have the world that's mesmerizing and bamboozling our minds to get us to look like the world. That's called idolatry and idols and the image of the false beast. We see it in the three Hebrew boys' day, that the time of the dulcimer and the sackbut and the music and all these things, that you would bow down and worship the statue. And people are like, man, that ain't me. I'll never bow down. I'll never bow down to anybody. Well, guess what? Man, those who can't, the first thing some people do is bow down to these cell phones in the morning. That's the first thing we do. Man, guess what? I'm guilty of it, amen? Man, so, ooh, beep, 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 bzz, 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 beep, beep, boop, boop. And, ooh, he, y'all know these noises. My wife be like, can you put that thing on silent? It be waking me up in the middle of the night. But listen, we bow down to these things. We bow down to the, listen, social media, wickedness, transforming us into the image of the world, demonic distraction, demonic influence, amen, and all these things, man, we got to know, man, all this stuff is a hot mess. It is. We listen, and we're going to be fasting this week. I'll talk about it more after the service. We're going to be fasting, and one of the things we're going to be fasting from is social media. Oh, boy, it's going to get quiet. It's going to get quiet. We're going to be fasting from these phones. And the only time you're going to pick up your phone, somebody calling you. Y'all say amen. Y'all say amen. Y'all say amen. Guess what? We ain't going to do. Listen, if you can do a food fast, that's great. Amen. But we're going to be, and this fast is going to be personal. But one thing I'm going to be fasting from is social media. Amen. Amen. And so all this stuff, because we see the world trying to get us to look like the world. But Christ is trying to get us to look like himself. And guess what, y'all? We have two entities playing a tug of war within us. We need to know who we are. And guess what? This is a point. We are who we gaze on. We are who we gaze on. That's why I can hear a song at Wawa while I'm pumping my gas. Man, it's a song playing. Do, 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 do. Right? And before you know it, man, that song was in my head all day. All day. And guess what? By the end of the day, I had to rebuke that song.
Sing a song about the blood of Jesus. That the blood song would wash it out. Amen. We've got to know. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. But be what? Transformed by the renewing of. Stop being poured out into the world's image. And into the world's mold. Guess what? That's what this world wants us to do. To implant its hoofs in us. That's why when the music would play, the dulcimer and the beat and everything, everybody would be like in a trance and bow down to this golden image. We've got to know it. Amen? We've got to know it. And I put on the new man, which is renewed in the love affair, renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Yo, we need deliverance. We need word application. Man, I hate this is one of my go-tos, Romans chapter 7. We see the same verse in a different way in Romans chapter 7. Y'all know how we know this war is real? Because you can't help yourself. Amen. Guess what? When we talk about this verse, mortification, walking in the spirit, mortifying your members upon the earth, uncleanness in order, and all this stuff. And how do we get there from here? You get to it by intimacy, by a love affair. Without a love affair, guess what, man? When you're in love, these things will be no problem. Mortifying your flesh will be no problem. Walking in the new man, putting off the old man, will be no problem because you're in love. I'm telling you. Amen. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrains me. And we thus judge that if Christ died for one, we're all dead. I'm dead. Because I've been broken to that love. I know who I am in that love. I know that I belong in that love. And guess what? Can't nobody tell me anything. I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ loves me. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Can't nobody just pull the wool over your eye. Can't nobody just sweet talk you. Some old joker. Well, you know how, what's up? How you doing? You know what I'm saying? They just can't sweet talk you unless you're talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say Smooth Willie. I ain't talking about this Willie. Amen. Man, listen. And it's okay. It's okay. Man, we pray, you know, young people, you find somebody in Christ. Right? But they better know Jesus Christ. Man, don't lower your standards. Stop knowing who you are. Know who you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Know that the Bible says, what manner of love is this? That you should be called a son and do not yet appear what we're going to be. You belong to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. Whether you got a husband or not, whether you got a wife or not, when you know this love, it's a liberating love. It's a love that busts my chains, loose my shackles, and lets me know that I am loved. He commended a love. Even yet while I was yet a sinner, that Christ would die on that cross for me. Who am I? What is man? That he would be mindful of us to love me, to save me, to rock me, to provide for me, to heal me. To be the person that we call to be in Jesus Christ. It's his love. It's his love. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Amen. Listen, God never wanted them to do it in their power. Deuteronomy 7:7. This is to everybody. I speak it over you in the name of Jesus. Fall in love. Be broken to this love. Die to this love. That you might know. Why did my voice get all crazy? Deuteronomy 7:7 says, the Lord did not set his love on you or chose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the fewest of all. But because the Lord loves you And because he would not keep, he would keep his oath with the fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondage. He says, I loved you with an everlasting love. And so I said all that to say, when I'm falling in love with Jesus, when I know his love has lifted me above what I was going through. And I'm telling y'all, listen, I've been through some stuff. And guess what? My watch just fell off. Amen. It's all right. It keep falling off. But I'm telling you, we've been there. Where, man, listen, and I'm not glorifying the trial. Trust me. I'm not glorifying what I went through. But I'm telling you, I've been through something that nobody else knows about. I've been through some things that my mother couldn't help me. My wife couldn't help me. My friends couldn't help me. But the only one who picked me up, the only one who lifted me, was Jesus Christ. I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it. I'm telling you, the older I get, my soul looks back and wonder, how in the world did I make it over? When you know that you know that you know that you can look back over your life and see where the devil tried to take you out. When you can look back over your life and you know something was attacking you. When you can look back over your life and see the hatred or unforgiveness. Amen. But when you focus on the love of Jesus Christ, when you're broken to the love of Jesus Christ, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like his love. Can't nobody rock you. Can't nobody hold you. Can't nobody deliver you. I'm telling you, he will fill the cup and the cup will overflow. Down through the years. Down through the years. Down through the years. God's been good to me. Amen. He's good. Amen. Man, and I'm telling, listen, and I guess what, y'all? Yesterday was a whirlwind. Then I sat up last night, and I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to preach this. But listen, I'm telling, listen, the love of Jesus Christ will blow your mind. I'm telling you, listen, I can't make you drink it, but you got to drink it for yourself. It's a bondage buster. When we're renewed by the word, through meditation, blessed is the man, on this word, in the closet, to be broken by this love, then that intimacy, the knowledge, the knowledge, not head knowledge. It starts in the head. Don't get me wrong. Discipline yourself to get in the word. It starts in your head. Paul said, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do are the things I end up doing. Therefore, I find in me another law that even when I try to do good, I've been there. You try to do good. And what? Evil is always present. Amen. There's a war going on the inside. The old man wrestles against the new man. And the new man wrestles against the old man. And that old nature comes in. But thank God for Paul. He said, O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Amen. He breaks out into a shout. Then he says, I thank God that through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, he lives in me, he walks with me, he talks with me, and tells me that I'm his own. And the joy that we share, the bliss that we share, the love affair that we share, as he tells me you belong, as he tells me you're my daughter, as he tells me you're my son. He says, through Jesus Christ. And basically what he's saying is, through the new man, I serve the law of God. But with the old man, I serve the flesh. And it's being renewed in the Word to transform you. Just like the Snickers commercial. When they say, you don't eat, you're not yourself. And y'all know, and the guy's looking like Liberace or somebody, or the Hulk or somebody. And then they give him a Snickers, and then he turns back to himself. If I had one point, y'all hear me good, it was you're born to belong. You were born to belong. And I'm telling y'all, man, this word, listen, this word is true. The Bible says heaven and earth are going to pass away, but his word will stand. I don't care what it is. You've got to be renewed in the knowledge of the image of him, Jesus Christ. Thank God for the message that was preached a couple weeks ago. Amen. We're born to look like Jesus. And y'all know the fighting that's going on overseas was in the Bible. I'm done. It's in the Bible. And guess what? It started in the house of Abraham. That's where it started. Amen. Because they made a natural decision. Sarah said, go take my wife. Take my handmaiden. Lay with her. Abraham, instead of just paying, seeking God and being the man, of the house. Come on. Being the man of the house and standing. Guess what? He said, okay. Okay. And they made a natural decision. A natural decision. And Ishmael was born. Amen. And Ishmael and Isaac, we know the rest. Listen, one of them had to go. And Sarah, the one who said, take my wife, is the same one now she's complaining. Because Ishmael was plucking Isaac up on the back of his head. Persecuting the seed that Christ should come. Man, listen, this world, I'm telling y'all, psychiatrists, counselors, they will tell you, people that don't even know Jesus Christ, they will tell you the number one reason for addiction, for depression, anxiety, and even some mental illnesses, the number one reason is because they don't know they belong. There's a lack of validation and affirmation and a lack of belonging. And guess what? Ishmael had to go. Ishmael and Hagar and hurt set in. And there are people that are hurt that will take the side of a hurt person. Not only that, but hurt people will hurt people. And hurt begets hurt. And it goes on and on and on. They're not fighting over land. They're not fighting over oil. They're fighting over a right to belong. That's why it's so important, young people, to know who you are. I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ, we got to know who we are. Regardless of what the world says, we got to know who we are as we stand to our feet. Amen. If there's somebody in this place and you do not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, you can come right now. I'm telling you, he will heal you. First of all, he will save you. And he'll deliver you from anything that you've ever gone through. Old scars, hurt, rejection, inferiority, fear. And I'm not saying that's the only reason why you come. Just come that you might know Jesus Christ. Is there one who would like to surrender their life to him? Hell is real. And if you don't know him, you can come right now and give your life to Jesus. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? The wages of sin is still death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
if there's one that would like to be restored, you need restoration. Amen. You can also come. He said, I'm married to the backslider. He married to you. So you might as well come. Is there one for restoration? You can come right now. Is there one? Amen. Is there one who would like to join this branch of Zion? Amen. You want to be a part of this CBC family? You can also come and join as the choir sings. Is there one? Amen. 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 Amen.